I have ahead of time for how I sound. I actually don't know how I sound, but you inside sound my little, head, I sound bit. Terrible.
No, you sound a little bit like me. Me too.
Okay.
I'm a little nasally.
Yeah.
I would like to start this off with a compliment and say both of you look fantastic this morning.
Oh, thank you. You just saying
I'm still in my PJs, to be honest.
You don't
mean it.
Pants aren't required.
Well, I didn't say anything about pants. I meant the hoodie, but, you know. Anyway. Yeah, I've been sick. Sounds like, Jimmy, you've been kind of sick the last couple of days as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the other side of it, but it's still, you know, lingering in my head, which is weird. I think I might have even said last week that I don't get sick very often. Did I say that last time?
Maybe. I've heard you say that.
I think I did. But I don't remember the last time I got, like, a cold sick, you know, of any kind. It's been a really, really long time, and I found over the last couple of days that I am not good at it. Like, it hits me hard. Jenny is, I mean, women in general are just amazingly tough and can be sick and still do all the stuff that they normally do and maybe more. She does that because she gets, you know, normal people sickness and stuff all the time. Just keeps on going, doesn't complain about it. And me, I'm like a little baby. Like, my head hurts. I'm going to lay down. So anyway, apologies to the world for me being how I am when I'm sick. But I think it's getting better.
No, I'm coming out of it. I started getting sick right after we talked last week and through Thanksgiving and everything, but I feel fine now. And I just ignore it. I just do my best to pretend there's nothing wrong. That's what I do usually.
Yeah, I try, but I'm not good at that either. You guys both hosted for Thanksgiving, and I want to hear how that went.
Oh, it went good. It went good. I said my nieces, my niece and nephews now are in their 20s. And so when we went around the table, what we're thankful for, I said, I'm thankful that everybody decided to drive up to see their weird uncle. Because nobody, I could tell nobody wants to be here. They all laughed. They're like, no, we want to be here. Because it's, I prepared the leather shop for my niece and nephews, because I know all they want to do is like hit the vape pen and drink. So I set up the chairs and everything. And sure as I guessed. Like, where are the kids? Oh, they're all up in the leather shop. You know, they go up there with a six-pack of beers and doing their thing. They had fun hiding out up there. But it was great. It was good to see my mom. My mom's 85 years old. She's going strong. She's not slowing down. And she's doing really good. And it's nice when everybody gets up. Everybody came up here and spent the night, and then the next day it was like a mad dash to who could leave first. It's like, because it's such a, everyone's like, I got a lot of things to do today. It's a really far drive. I'm like, I know. But it was fine. Everybody was out of here after breakfast. I had the whole day to myself. It was great.
So here's the trick. We said we meet at noon. We eat at 1. Everybody leaves at 4. That was like, you have an end time, an end date.
Wow.
And that's what worked. Everything went perfectly. Like, I smoked a turkey, and everybody showed up on time. We ate right at 1 o'clock. Like, smoking a turkey can be a little weird because it's not time-based. It's all temperature. But everything just worked out perfectly. My mom couldn't make it. She was sick that day, so it was kind of a bummer. First time I've ever hosted anything in my life. And I wanted to prove to mom that, look, I'm an adult now. But
turns out you're not an adult, because she didn't
see
it.
Turns out, so. She still thinks I'm a little kid playing on YouTube. But no, but it was nice.
Bob, what'd you do?
We went to my sister's house. She hosts. She has for the last several years. She's good at it. She enjoys it. We talked about doing it because, like, our house is, it was my grandfather's house. And so all of us had spent time here, you know, at different points in our life. Like, we grew up coming here all the time. And then when my brother moved back from California, they lived with my grandfather for a little while they were finding a house. And so everybody has a lot of history here. But we've changed the house, you know, almost 100%. And so we keep talking about doing Thanksgiving or Christmas or something here and having all the family here at one time. And it just never really happens. But my sister hosted. And then the next day we had everybody who could make it over for lunch and stuff. And my brother and his wife were in from Atlanta. They live in Atlanta now. So, you know, we got to have people here as well on the next day, but it was good. It's a good chill weekend, which is weird for my family. My family, between the four kids, all have soccer or band or school or youth group or all of those things. I mean, there's always stuff going on every night of the week, you know, half of the afternoons. The weekends are always full of things. And so it was really strange to have a full long weekend with nothing, like nothing was scheduled for anybody. And of course, they found things to do, but it was the first time in a long time. It was just like Friday morning, everybody's up at 10, 11, kind of wandering around the house with nothing to do. Nobody had to go anywhere and be anywhere at a certain time. It was strange, but really nice. It was a good weekend. It was nice. And the weather was good until a couple days ago. And we had it wasn't our first snow of the year, but our first real actual snow that stayed on the ground and stuff. And we only had a couple of inches. And the roads were perfectly fine when we woke up yesterday morning, but they canceled school anyway. So kids had off all day yesterday and I was still sick. And so it was another random day of nothing to do. It's a nice rhythm. I wish we could stick in that rhythm, but it doesn't stay around. But you guys got like legitimate snow, right?
Yeah, we got about
eight, nine
inches. But it's stopped yesterday evening. Crazy. It stopped last night, and now it's starting to melt already. Hmm. The worst is what happens up here in upstate New York. It snows, it gets compacted, and then it stays cold, and so the compacted turns into like permafrost.
Yeah, like
a 1-inch layer of ice, and then it snows again, and then you get another one, and then you get these chunks of ice that last until April. It's kind of annoying. It's usually like the tire tracks down the middle of everything.
I had to special order some sapele plywood, and it came in, and I had to go pick it up yesterday. But the night before, it snowed like 4 inches. And this is on top of like 3 or 4 inches that we got a few days ago. And this plywood cost $500. So, you know, and I had a special order. It took like a week to get here. So I'm out there shoveling snow out of the back of my truck and then taking a broom and then brushing it all off. And I don't want to ruin this plywood. So I'm taking a heat gun and I'm melting all of the compacted ice that Jimmy is talking about in the back. Yeah. Neighbors probably think I'm an idiot because I just got a brand new truck. And you're probably thinking I'm babying the truck, but really I just didn't want to destroy the plywood.
How many sheets did you get?
Three sheets.
Three sheets was $500?
Almost 500, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Dumb. Well, what's that for? What project?
So this is for the slatted wall stair railing that I'm building for the lake house.
Yeah.
So starting that this week. So basically out of solid sapele, I'm building the triangle frame that's going to fit into the wall, but all the slats are going to be out of sapele plywood, and then I will edge bend that. So I want the frame out of solid wood because the frame is probably what is going to get dinged up, people going up and down the stairs, and that's going to take a better beating than the plywood. And then all the edge bending for the plywood will be, I won't use regular edge bending. I will use actual wood just so it can take a hit.
Yeah, that's what I always do anyway. I always put a quarter-inch piece of whatever the species is.
And I think using the plywood, like it would have been a lot of wood to use solid wood for all the vertical slats. And I think the plywood is going to just stay a little straighter. And I'm also doubling it up, so it's going to be an inch and a half. All the slats are going to be an inch and a half thick by 4 inches wide.
Oh, yeah, I think we talked about if you had the really longest ones, you were going to maybe, well, I suggested you could put steel in it. You could bury a piece of steel in it to keep it from being a little bouncy.
Which is not a bad idea. So if we get it up and you can see that it wants to bend a little bit and the spaces in between aren't perfect, which I think they will be. I don't think it's going to be a problem. But if it is, I am going to put horizontal little pieces, maybe in kind of like random places, and it'll be part of the design. But if I don't have to do that, we want the clean look of just the vertical lines. And this is And it's one of those projects that's a little more challenging than I thought. I mean, building a triangle frame and then just putting a bunch of slats in the middle sounds easy until you start planning it out. You can't You can't build it in the shop and then bring it out into the living room because houses aren't square. So you build the frame in place, but then how do you attach all the vertical slats? So
are
I'm going through
put
that.
Pockets?
In the video.
Is it you're putting pockets or?
I am not. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put two or three pieces in there and use a brad nail or maybe something a little bit bigger than a brad nail and toe nail two or three of the pieces in there along with glue, then take the whole frame out, add all the other vertical slats. And then from the top and bottom, I can reinforce that either with like a dowel or probably just use screws. So it'd be quicker. Yeah. Then the whole thing goes back in, but then the whole thing is going to be over. So I'm actually going to do it in sections because it would just be way too big and way too heavy to put the whole thing in there. So it looks like an easy project, but there are a whole bunch of challenges that I just didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's it. Making something simple and large is definitely an engineering project for sure.
And triangles. Yeah. Triangles are not as simple as it seems like they would be.
Right. Angles
every
are
single time. Yeah, the angle of like the outer angles of everything, but then also splitting those inner angles into whatever combination of, you know, pieces you have to get, and then getting everything to actually line up like it's supposed to so that it fits in the spot you put it into. Yeah, it's triangles are deceptively difficult, in my opinion. I'm looking forward to seeing that, though. I want to see how that turns out. That's cool.
Yeah, it's one of those. So it's the first project in the main living area of the lake house. And we talked a little bit about whatever this project is going to kind of set the tone for all future projects, because if we use walnut, we're going to use walnut for everything else. And we decided we're going to go with mahogany, sapele. And because KenCraft always seems to have sapele in stock, so it's always there. Mm. Walnut is not always... there's not always a good amount to choose from, but there always seems to be a sapele there. But it turns out my plywood dealer doesn't normally stock sapele. So it turns out if I need to build other things out of sapele plywood, it's going to be expensive and difficult, but it will all be worth it. So yeah, I'm not going to be the walnut guy anymore.
That's funny. I wish we had a KenCraft type place here. That would be great.
Yeah. So this is the thing that's going to kind of just like you walk in the door, it's going to be the first thing you see. So we're hoping it kind of transforms the room. You can see some of the DIY craft that this place is going to be. So, yeah. Speaking of KenCraft, I'm going to do one more little quick announcement. It's been confirmed. I am having my art show on June 20th, and then the closing will be June 27th. Those are two Saturdays in June. Awesome. And it will likely, times aren't set yet, but it'll likely be like evening till close. And I'm in talks with KenCraft. We might do something earlier in the day. They usually close at noon, but I want to see... They'll probably stay open a little bit later that day because people are going to be coming in from out of town. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So you have 6 months to prepare if you want to travel to the town. Detroit Airport is 50-minute drive away. There's a Toledo Airport, but not many flights go to Toledo.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am... this is something I wanted to do my entire life. And so
it's going to be a nice rendezvous this summer. Yeah. It's going to be one of those things where everybody's like, are you going to go to Dave's? Oh, you're going to start asking me that in a couple of months.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So we got I got a verbal commitment from Bob. What about you, Jimmy?
I'll drive out there.
That'd be amazing.
I'll come out there. Yeah. It'd be fun. Like I said, it's going to be a good rendezvous for us. If people still start getting a groundswell, I'm sure of it.
So, like, the process of getting the stuff ready for that show? I know it's probably mostly stuff that you've already made, but what does that look like to you? Oh, it's not stuff you've already made.
There are a handful of things that are already made. There are a lot of things. Most of it is going to be stuff that I make from now and until then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm going to be busy.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I have a bunch of ideas.
How do you feel about that pressure of having a date now that, like, you have, you know, this much stuff you want to fit into this much time to be done right here?
It's pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
Self-imposed.
Right now it feels good because it feels like I'm working towards something, but we all know how when the date gets really close and we're scrambling to get everything. But I've been sketching out some things in my notebook. I just gotta do the work. I don't go out into the shop in the evening very much anymore. And I don't know, my motivation for, what would you call it? Just kind of fiddling around in the shop and playing, like, non-camera time is way down than what it used to be. And I don't know why. I think maybe I'm just getting older and I just want to rest in the evenings, or I just want to...
I think we go through tinker moods. You know, there are times when
that's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
I tinker a lot more in the spring and summer. I tend to.
Yeah. And we're getting into the winter now, and tinkering is going to be a lot less because, oh, I have to preheat the shop before going out there and all that. But I will really need to, because a lot of this isn't going to be filmed. Maybe I'll make shorts. I don't know. I'm not a big shorts fan, but I just need to use that evening time to execute a lot of these ideas that I want to do.
Do I see, like, a Netflix documentary on Dave getting prepared for his art show?
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. That would be a roller coaster ride of emotions of panicking.
Well, I told you guys, and I could get into it a little bit later, me and Mike, Mike the fireman, we had a heated discussion yesterday, and we had this whole heated discussion, and I was like, wait a minute, I should turn the camera on for this. And I turned the camera on, and then we got into it again, and we didn't get into a fight, but he was advocating for a big change at the Graveyard House, and I wasn't. I was advocating for keeping things as they were, and we got into it. It'll be in the episode, and it's not a secret. He's telling me we should rip the roof off of this one section, and I'm thinking, let's just keep it and repair it. But so I was like, let's document it. So if you do prepare for your show, be good to at least get some of that. Even if it doesn't come out in a timely manner, it's something you have as just as a document to eventually put out. You could have your brother do more documentary style, like moving around and swinging the camera and asking you pointed questions you can cut out later, but just you getting angry and pissed off on camera because anxious and annoyed.
Yeah. When I...
introspective.
You know, I've gone to plenty of local art shows with artists, and my favorite ones are when you can see kind of like a cohesiveness between all of the pieces, and there's maybe... So some of them will do a theme, and they will make art just for this theme. I don't understand how anybody has the time or the brain power to do that. But I am not going to be able to have a cohesive theme between all the pieces. But I am doing like sections. Like, there's going to be a section of phrases and wall art. There's going to be a section of sculptural pieces. I might bring some weird furniture pieces that I've done over time, but so there won't be a whole cohesive theme, but there'll be little individual pockets of a theme.
It's when you see an artist's work or collection at one time, it's like handwriting. Right away, it starts to show a pattern.
That's true.
If the mediums are all varied, if people get to know the work, they start to realize it's all from the same hand.
Oh, this dude loves walnut.
Yeah. I mean, there are things throughout that, you know, I always use old wooden steel. And I look back, I'm like, oh, I got to stop using old wooden steel. Gotta up my game. And then I use fancy steel and fancy wood. expensive steel and expensive wood. I'm like, oh, I guess. But, you know, we all have a signature. We all have a signature that you don't really recognize until you step back and look at it all at once.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You put 10 pieces together and you're like, oh, I guess that's how my signature looks, I guess.
Even when Josh and I were working together, there was a, I didn't recognize it about myself, but he would design something in Fusion or whatever and have a curve on it that I wouldn't have used. That didn't affect anything. It was just a visual thing. And I would be like, yeah, let's get rid of the curve. And so it became this running joke about how I hated curves, which I don't hate curves, but it was just a thing that kind of, I never noticed that I like straight lines. I like chamfered edges more than I like intentional, big, sweeping, curvy things. And so he would always give me a hard time about it. And since then, I've tried to find places to like, I should put a curve in here. I should find a curve that I like, not just to put it in there, but mm-hmm. like I should expand what I would naturally do, you know. And I don't always do that, but it is something I became aware of. So, yeah.
One of the things that I think about that looks so Bob, that has lots of curves in it, is the window that you made. It's like a trapezoidal window in between two of the rooms, right?
Trapezoidal window.
In your basement, you have, isn't there, oh boy.
There's a window, but it's just rectangular.
No, you.
That was the other problem.
Your 3D printing room, doesn't it have
a window? Yeah, it has like a, I don't know what you would call it, a trapezoid, I guess, yeah. Yes, you are correct.
And that just looks really cool. I like seeing that in the background. I don't know, there's just something about that that's like, that is visually pleasing.
And I like that one too. And I think that's a good example of what I was talking about though. Cause like the corners are curves and so they're rounded corners, but the long sides are straight.
Still straight.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so the joke with him was that he would have taken like the top long line of that and made it a big sweeping curve. And I like never ever would do that. I don't know why. I just naturally, I wouldn't do it. So. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. We definitely all have a flavor that we add to stuff without realizing it, I think. Yeah. So you guys were talking earlier about, I haven't done anything this week, by the way, so I'm not even going to say. I shipped a bunch of orders yesterday and hung out with my family, been sick. I tried to work on on the roof of the pool house, and I got a little bit done and then it snowed, and so now I can't. But that weather being a problem for me, we were talking before we started recording about like seasonal stuff. Like, you know, Jimmy, you were saying that your hands crack and things.
Oh, it's impossible.
What with the seasons changing, specifically going into winter and things getting harder to do, you know, you said you had to preheat the shop, David. What other stuff like that changes for you all in this season where the weather is less accommodating?
Well, it's funny. I didn't realize it till I did the Woody, and me and Rob dragged the Woody into the house. We dragged it inside the shop for January, like the first couple of days of January this year. And I was like, this is my winter project. And I didn't realize it, but that's now a thing I'm going to try and do. I probably did it previous years, but it was really called out because the truck was such a big thing. The Cadillac was such a big deal. So that's why in the summer, I said to Robert, well, let's find the next winter project. And I found the tow truck. And we dragged it into the lot in July, August. And it kicked around. The two of us were tinkering on it, wrenching on it. But I said, now that winter's here, let's get it in the backyard. And we got it in the backyard. Now it's inside the shop. And so last night, I started working on the tow truck inside. I'm only going to make a video about repairing the sheet metal in the floor. And a general overview of everything else. But we've redone the brakes on it. We pulled all the tires off. We redid the brakes and the plumbing for the brakes, which is, Rob did the complicated part. And last night we pulled both gas tanks. And last night I started reinstalling the other gas tank. And I got deep into the floor work last night. So I love the idea of a winter project that's inside. And thank God my shop, the floor is heated. So I'm wrestling around on the floor. And I go in there fully good geared up because it's cold out. And then I slowly peel off one layer, then the next layer. And then all of a sudden I'm like in a short sleeve t-shirt rolling around under the tow truck because the floor is hot. You pick up a tool and it's hot. You pick up, like you go to move like an apple box and the side of it is hot, like he just picked it up off a stove. So that's so nice, having a heated floor and heat rises up past you. So I like the idea of a winter project. So going forward, especially the winters up here are really harsh. I mean, me and Dave experienced a pretty similar winter. It's harsh. And I thought about the other day, having the leather shop now is heated and the backyard is heated and the house is heated.
The backyard is heated?
I meant to say the backyard.
Wow, man, no, YouTube money.
It is.
Say you have too much money without saying you have too much money.
No, saying I'm like literally blowing money. So I only turn the heat on at the Main Street shop when we're there. So it's like a big toaster, right? You stand underneath this big heated tube and as soon as you leave, you turn it off. But I keep the leather shop heated and I keep the backyard barn heated. So they're both backyard barns basically. And I'm going to see what it's like this winter to keep the leather shop heated. But it is so nice to go up there. Last winter was the first winter I had the place available to use. And I went up there twice because both times I went up there, I'm like, I'm freezing. My hands are cracked. I can't do anything. So this winter, I'm keeping it heated. And so far, it's been great. I don't go up there as much as I probably should to keep the building heated. But to know I can run in there and do a project, I get an order for a bag. I run up there and I prep it and get it ready for shipping and tape sticks because it's not 10 degrees in there. It's nice. So I like the idea of a winter project like the tow truck. So I picked up the DJI 360 camera a few months ago and I've been just dabbling with it. And so last night working on the tow truck, I set it up to film a bunch of stuff. And I was like, I'll just deal with the post-production later. And I downloaded, there's a studio app. You could do it on your computer, which is much easier than trying to post-produce it on your phone. And last night I played with it and I've made this funny clip of me. I was actually showing my patrons how you could really zoom in. And I made this thing, all of a sudden I look like Elmer Fudd under the car. So on my Patreon clip, I'm laughing as I'm playing with it because suddenly I look like a cartoon character. I did this extreme zoom. So my head is giant. My hands are really tiny. And so after I got off the Patreon post, I went and made a clip of it and put it on my Instagram, which is why I just thought it was so funny.
Well, that's pretty funny looking.
My hat turns into this big giant bonnet because my head was right near the bubble eye. So experimenting with the tow truck last night, I was like, since this isn't such a serious project, I'm not really holding it in high regard, let me experiment with a camera, which gives me the freedom to be loose and a little bit like oddball creative, which got me to that silly visual of me under the truck. But it is interesting. So it's a matter of like where you land your keyframes and stuff. But I don't know. That was a long ramble. Winter project truck.
Thanks for shortening it for us. Summary.
Yes.
Yep.
One of the major issues that I have with winter is when there's snow, everything is just wet all the time because I have to walk outside to get to my shop. And if I didn't do a good job of shoveling the snow or if it's snowing right now and you walk, you're just bringing in water everywhere. If you put down ice melt, that stuff just gets everywhere and makes a mess. And it's one of those things that's like, if I'm on the fence of tinkering and I have to deal with the snow, I'm just like, you know what? Nah, I'll just stay inside. I'll draw in my notebook or on the computer or something. I'm always doing something, but I wish I was doing more physical things. And the winter makes that a little bit harder. And if it's, you know, if it's like 15 degrees outside, I can turn on the heat remotely with my phone, but it takes like an hour. So I have to anticipate me having the motivation an hour from now to do the thing. And so when it comes to actual work, it's not that hard because there's deadlines, but it's the tinkering that really takes a dive in the wintertime.
I've never really thought about what I don't do during the winter. I mean, you know, I'm in a lucky position where my shop is in my basement, so it's the same temperature all year round. So that doesn't affect that too much. But I never really thought about, like, what I don't do in that regard during the winter. I mean, I know that I don't work on the Carmagia. I haven't worked on the Carmagia when the weather was nice this year, though. So there's that. But a lot of people keep asking me, assuming that it's just abandoned. And it's not, but at the same time, I was at a point all year long where it was like, well, I have more metal work to do. I have more body stuff that, and I've shown that so many times, like I can't just keep making videos about the same work, you know, but it has to get done before I can move ahead. So it's hard to justify being able to do that work, but not make videos about it because I just don't have the time.
That's when you put your camera on time lapse.
Well, I mean, I've done that, but
you capture it and then you could just show it finished. So you take what could basically amount to 3 days worth of work and make it 3 minutes of video just so people don't, you know, you don't feel left out.
Well, and the thing is, like, people don't really care about, and that sounds bad. I mean, they don't really care about seeing that work completed, you know, like having all of it because they've seen it, right? So, like, I don't think anybody would care if they never saw any more body work done on the Kia and it just all of a sudden was finished. I think that would be fine. It's more a matter of just me justifying the time to get it done around stuff that actually is, you know, how my family eats and stuff. Like, that's the more important thing. So, I don't know. But the winter makes it even worse because then I can't even a free afternoon where I'm like, yeah, I should just go get something done. That's not going to happen because the metal's cold, everything changes shape, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So
we stayed at a Frank Lloyd Wright house last winter and it had heated floors. I had never experienced heated floors before, but that is a total game changer for the winter. Like it is so pleasant. It's almost
it's so
like
nice.
You want it to be cold so you can have the heat on, because when your feet are warm, your whole mood is different because you're everything is okay. It's so comfortable. I wish I could have heated floors in every room.
You should get heated socks. That way it would feel like you were always on heated floors.
Is that a thing? Can I get heated socks?
I'm sure it's a thing. It's got to be a thing.
No, it's like when you guys eventually make it here, if you're here in the winter, when you walk into the shop and the heated floor, you walk in and you just immediately feel like you've just walked into, when it's 20 degrees out and you walk into 70 degrees and the heat is, it's not just hot, it's like continuously hot. It's like continuously coming up under your feet. And it's so nice. And then when you're laying under the truck, oh God, it's so nice. By the way, I'll say this.
You took a nap under the truck?
I really can. It's like, I got to take this other layer off. By the way, I'll say this because a lot of people keep saying it because they see me. Me and Rob are actively trying to figure out how to get a car lift. A lot of people saying, you need a lift, you need a lift. I hear it, see it in the comments all the time. So we are trying to get a lift. I don't know, this tow truck's got to weigh 10,000 pounds. So I don't know if a lift would be the safest thing. It's better to be close to the ground on wheel chocks, which is where it is now. But in general, we are trying to work on getting a lift so we can get the shop going. I haven't really shown much of this, but the shop down the block, me and Rob and Keith from Blackthorn Concepts and Kurt Bloom we've been working on trying to get that shop a little bit emptied out and reorganized so that we can put a car lift in there. Right now, the Cadillac, I think I sent you guys pictures, the Cadillac is in there with plenty of room around it. And so we're going to try and turn that shop downtown into a car shop. Just for fun, not trying to open up for business, but just so car projects can happen down there. And so anyway, that's what we've been working on. So I noticed a few comments.
That would make sense to separate your, like the tool overlap between those two shops is probably a little
unnecessary. Became more storage. Ryan works down there a lot. And Ryan has always got projects going on down there, and he's really good at reorganizing. So he'll reorganize the shop. And I actually made something there yesterday for the first time in a while, but it's like, where's the sanding blocks? Like everything over there has been slowly migrated its way over here. All my favorite tools have migrated everything into the backyard. So when I think about doing a project, the CNC machine is still down there. So I go down there and CNC big stuff, which I have to make a sign today. I'll probably spend the day down there. So we are working on trying to get a car lift. We're looking to see if we can get a sponsor. If not, buy one on Facebook Market for a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the story.
Going back to heated floor, I have a heated pad under my desk, and it's on right now, and it keeps my feet warm during the podcast, and I feel cozy, guys. I feel comfortable. I highly suggest this $25, $30 heated floor pad for your feet on Amazon.
Huh. Interesting. I've never even considered that that would be something that I would want. It sounds pretty nice, but
yes, it's I even have shoes on, and it's working right through my shoes. Now I do have to look into the heated socks thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's real or not. It seems like
Milwaukee,
it would be, though.
Milwaukee,
I
mean, must like, make heated socks. They make heated jackets.
It feels like a, right. Yeah. So I was going to ask about shoes because, like, you all are both talking about heated floors, but I wear shoes almost all the time. And my kids think I'm weird sometimes, but
like wingtip
shoes. I know some
shoes?
Houses you come
shoes?
In, you take. Huh?
You say shoes like wingtip shoes? What kind of shoes you wear?
No, just like whatever shoes I'm wearing. Like, I know some people, when they come in the house, they take their shoes off, and they typically are in their own house with socks only.
Yeah.
And I've had enough dog crap and cat vomit and stuff and kids in my house for long enough that it's like, no, I'm just going to keep my shoes on. Yeah. If I step in something, it doesn't bother me too
Dusty
much.
Dusty Slay does a whole bit about that, about it. He's like, can you come in my house? He goes, better keep your shoes on. You don't want to step on any glass.
Really, I mean, funny. It just, for me, it just makes sense to always kind of have shoes on and be prepared to go in and out of the house and whatever. So do the heated floors even mean anything if you're wearing shoes?
I don't have heated floors in my house. Being in my house is like being outside. This house is like completely
But in your shop you do. You were talking about how nice it is. But
I don't kick my shoes off when I come in the shop. But in the house, I do because I'm just tracking mud everywhere. It's usually pretty muddy. In the shop, I don't care.
But he's asking if, like, can you feel the heat through your shoes?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, yeah. It's just a general feeling. It's like walking into... I don't feel the differentiation because overall, it's just pleasant.
I mean, it radiates up, so your entire body's getting it. Like, you're feeling it rise past you. I understand that.
And the ceiling's 36 feet high, so, I mean, the peak to the inside.
So it's gone very
no,
quickly.
No, but it comes up past you, and it's not stopping. It doesn't stop. It's like it always comes up. Whereas, like, if you had a radiator, like, on the side, the heat would just, like, rise up past everything and be
radiator.
In the peak. But since it's like you're standing on, like, an iron face up. The whole room is, like, an iron face up. And so no matter where you go, you know, you're going to have, like, you could be, like, skating around on two pads of butter. Just, like, slipping around the whole room like you're ice skating.
Wow. There's an AI image waiting to happen.
But, a quick little callback to Mom not thinking I'm an adult. Mom, I'm having a really old man conversation right now about keeping warm in the wintertime. Like, kids don't talk about this.
That's right.
This is
man, you're so,
totally
you're so
an old
mature.
Man conversation.
No, there was so a... Mature. So before I'm on auto delivery for propane. Prior to being on auto delivery, I didn't realize that was an option. I had to call in and be like, can you deliver? So in the depths of winter last year, it was... Maybe 2 years ago, it was the depths of winter. It was like 10 degrees every day for like 5 days, 10 days. And my propane was going low. So I called up my gas company. I was like, I'm out of propane. Can you deliver? I'm going to be out in a minute. And they're like, with this rush, we can only get over there in a few days. Like, we're doing our best. And there was like a solid week where I had no heat in the shop through like 10 degrees. So I had to go out and I bought a Sunfire heater for $3,000 because I knew I needed one eventually. So I went and bought one, and then they saw me and they're like, oh, we should have just given you one. I'm like, all right. And so they gave me, so I have two of them. So I basically paid half price for two heaters. But anyway, having no heat in there, and I was in the middle of a leather project. It was, like I said, this was 2 years ago, and it was so miserable in there, 10 degrees. And I had to like warm my hands up. And that's when that was the moment I got on auto delivery. I called a different oil company. I'm like, do you guys do auto delivery? They're like, we sure do. I'm like, they put a little monitor on your thing so they get a notification when you're like 4 or 5 days out.
Huh.
So they don't wait till it's like 60% empty to come fill it. And then also your bills aren't thousands of dollars, even though ultimately after the whole winter it is, but you're not paying $2,500 at a clip. You're paying like $600 or $700 at a clip because they fill you up before you're zero. So, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, I bet. Well, as far as like the winter stuff, I mean, like I said, I don't feel a whole lot of change typically when the winter changes or when the weather changes because most of my stuff is inside. But this year, because I'm working on the pool house, I was noticing the other day when I started that project, it was so hot out. It was like in the high 90s, you know, when I started it. So I was sweating and just miserable the entire time I was building the frame. Now I'm at a point where I was trying to get the roof on before it started snowing. And I was out there, you know, it was 28 or something, and I had to wear gloves, and I was dealing with, like, roofing screws and trying to hold roofing screws with gloves, like leather gloves, is, like, surprisingly difficult. So I ended up getting the small section of roof, got the steel down, and then on, I guess it was Monday, I was, before the snow, I was like, yeah, I'm going to start getting some of the trim. The part that I really don't understand about roof metal roofing is all of the trim pieces that you have to put around, and you wrap and you fold, and you know, everything has to, like, overlap in a way that takes water to the outside. And I've watched so many videos, I've looked up articles, I've made lists, I've ordered pieces, and still when I think about what I have to put in place and how I have to bend it and fold it and cut it, it's a problem that I cannot get my head around. So I'm like, I got today, I'm going to get the pieces on for this small section before the snow comes. And I spent the entire day, I got one piece of metal on. And it was just a matter of, like, getting it fit and then figuring out where the screws have to go and then taking it off and cutting it to length and then putting it on and then trimming the ends, folding them, taking it off. You know, it was like a lot of just back and forth of trying to get it right. And I don't even know if it's right. That's the most frustrating thing, is that I'm not confident that I was actually doing it right, but I was just trying to get it done. But I ended up getting one side of the roof done, and not even the whole thing. And then the snow came, and so now it's got a couple inches of snow on top of the roof, and so I can't really even go out there and work on it now, I don't think. So that's the first time that I've run into, I think, you know, a project is now halted because of the winter. I just have to wait for the snow to run off and then for the underlayment or the roofing sheathing to dry, because I don't think it would be a good idea to put metal over top of that stuff wet. Maybe that doesn't matter. I don't know. There's so many unknowns for this, and I feel like construction things in general are done by so many people, and, you know, this, I don't know how to say this where it doesn't sound rude. You don't have to have a degree to build houses.
But you gotta know what you're doing.
You have to know what you're doing, yes. But it's something that anybody, I think, is capable of doing, is what I'm trying to say. It's not a specialized, you know, you don't have your law degree or your doctor, your medical degree in house building. It's something that anybody is capable of understanding, but you have to know what you're doing. A lot of people do it, but it's just not as simple as I would have expected it to be, especially something like, you know, like putting metal, like it's like the last stage of a roof is like you're putting metal on it and then you're wrapping the metal around. And maybe it's not that complicated. It's the fact that I just have never done it before. Maybe that's the case, but I'm having a hard time figuring it out, you know? So,
yeah. So my brother-in-law works for a roofing company, and then my nephew also worked for the same roofing company. And my nephew had to spend, I think, basically a full year of just learning how to cut and bend metal. Mm. And now that's his specialty. When they go on roofing jobs, that's all he does. And so you're trying to learn something that somebody else has spent a lot of time doing, and that's all they do. And so they can do it quick and they can do it easy, and they know how to problem solve. But
well, and maybe, yeah, that's interesting to hear, because when you watch videos about it and stuff, and maybe this is what everybody complains about us, but when you watch videos, it looks like, oh, this is not that hard. It's just some metal. Just right, take some tin snips and cut some things and fold the things and then stick the things on the things. And they're like, you know, they use all the, there's verbiage, there's jargon for everything. And so I'm out there going like, wait, is a gable this part or is it that part? Like, which part is the thing? And then you look at a piece of trim, and it's the same piece of trim on two different websites. It's called different things. Is it an eave or is it a gable? Is it a, you know, so you're right. It's probably way more complicated than I'm expecting it to be. If people are spending a year learning how to do it well, then yeah, that's something. But I'm having a hard time with it. And the snow is not helping. So, you know. And this is just the small section of roof. That's another thing.
Did you have to order longer pieces? Remember you said you...
I did. Yeah, I did. And they're not here yet, So I'm trying to like learn on the small section, and you know, realizing that it's not going to be perfect, but I'm trying to work on like the back face. I'm working on the backside of the building because you won't see it as obviously. And on the small roof, I'm trying to get that done so that when I do the big one, that's more obvious and longer lines and stuff, it will be in, you know, be done better. But I had to order the roof panels for that, and the panels were like over 20 feet long. So they're, you know, custom cut, obviously, and I'm waiting for them to show up. They're not going to show up until like next week. And that put me a week behind on the project anyway, plus the weather. So, you know, anyway, the roof thing is not going great. It's not going as well as everything else has gone so far. But I am anxious to get it on because, you know, once that's on, then it's kind of, it's like siding and trim, and then I can move inside because that's really about all there is on the outside. It's just the roof and the siding is all it's left.
What about windows? Did you pick windows and doors?
Yeah, windows are and doors are already in.
Oh, good.
And sealed up, and yeah, they're good. So that's pretty nice. Yeah, the windows and doors both, we ordered in 2020. Because we had an idea for a shed to put back there for her pottery.
Yeah, you were talking about this for a while.
Yeah, and we went ahead and ordered those at the time, and then, like, just stuff happened and life happened and everything changed. So we had these things, and we never went ahead and, yeah, COVID came and kind of goofed everything up. And so they've been in the garage for 5 years, and so they worked fine, and I designed around the fact that we had already paid for them, but they're not necessarily what I would have gotten for this design if we were just buying from scratch. But the cool thing about them is that they're like roller handles on them. So they hinge vertically. So they open at the back corner, they open outward rather than up and down. Yeah. And so you can, any other thoughts on winter or seasonal changes you have to make with what you do?
When you do outside work, you just have to mentally prepare. You have to like sit inside, stare at your phone for an hour, tape all your fingers up, tighten your boot strap. Because I was putting on laced up boots yesterday. And then I just sat there for like an hour, like, I got to go out in the snow. We went over to the graveyard house to do a little bit of work, and it was not fun. But I took the opportunity to videotape the graveyard house with the snow coming down. It looks cool. Looks cool. It's like The Shining.
I don't have a pick for the week, and I wasn't going to say anything or have anything to recommend, but you reminded me, when you said, look at your phone for an hour, I have a couple little phone hacks that are working out very well for me. That'll be my pick.
Well, go for it. I mean, we're there.
So I spend too much time on my phone. I think many people do. And I have, I deleted Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube from my phone, but I now, and I use the web version of those things. And so on an iPhone, I'm assuming on Android, you can save the web version. It's basically a bookmark on your homepage, but I use a plugin and I think it's called Untrap, but it blocks anything that you want from a certain social media site. So when I open up YouTube, I'm taken to the web app, but I don't see any shorts. I don't see any, you can individually remove all the buttons that you don't want. And and so for Instagram, it doesn't show me any recommendations. It only shows my feed. It doesn't show me any ads. And I know that's a no-no, but the Instagram web feed looks just like the app, but it is just things that I want to see because of this plugin that I'm using. And then the same thing with Facebook. Facebook is only my feed of my friends who I choose to see. So my hack is delete the apps off your phone, use the web version of those because they are a little limited. I can't post stories on Instagram through the web app, but I don't post much on Instagram anyway. And it's so much more pleasant because it is things that I am choosing to see. So I can still waste time in the grocery line looking at my phone, but...
But it's intentional.
It's intentional, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I was trying an app called Jolt a couple of days ago, and it's like a screen time management kind of thing. And it's not perfect, but I was testing it for one of my kids, and he and I had a conversation about just... limiting the session time, not necessarily the overall time, but like how long you get lost in an app for a while. And so I was trying to see if this Jolt one would kind of keep track of how long you'd been looking at it in any given session. And it kind of does, kind of doesn't. You can set up a time limit for apps and then it will block them out. If, you know, when it hit the limit, it just makes it inaccessible. But then, of course, you can always, like, say, well, no, I really want to see it right now.
Right.
So you can get past it. But it is a good, at least, reminder that, oh, I hit that. I set a 15-minute limit, and I've hit that. So I should at least be aware of, you know, if I don't really need to be doing this right now, I shouldn't do it. And so, but if anybody has a suggestion for something like that, that doesn't limit the overall time, but reminds you to, like, hey, stop scrolling. It's been 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. I would love to find that app. I'm sure it's out there. I just don't know what it is. Jimmy, before I take what you want to recommend, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters.
I'm still looking.
Okay, well, good. Huge thanks to everybody over at Patreon that supports the show, that is helping us out. They've been sticking around for a long time. We've had just a lot of people have been supporting us, some from the very beginning, but a lot of people for a really long time. We're really grateful for that. So huge thanks to everybody over there, especially our top supporters. These people support us more than they need to, but we're really grateful for it. That's Works by Solo, Warren Works, The New Janky Workshop, Scott at Daddy Yourself DIY, Rich at Lowen Design, Pete Rondeau, Odin Leather Goods, Nick Ryan, Michael Menegin, Matthias Garnow, Corey Ward, Chris McCormick joined up at the top level this week. Appreciate that, Chris. Chad from Mancrafting, Albers Woodworks, and A Pretty Big Deal, Inc. But also people like Jacob Toffner. Jacob has been supporting since 2020. Super grateful for that, Jacob. That's really cool. If you want to get the after show, you have to be a patron. So you have to go to patreon.com/makingit, join up at any level. It doesn't matter. You can do the cheapest one there. Everybody gets the after show, and it's a separate podcast feed that is only accessible through Patreon. You put it in your podcast player, and you can listen to a separate show just like this show. There's also a link to the video after show on the YouTube channel. You can watch the regular or after show in video if you want to see us. I don't know why you would, but if you want to see us, you can. So go to patreon.com/makingit and join up to help us out. We'd appreciate it. I have one to recommend. Did you find something?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm just going through my feed and I see here RR Buildings. And that makes me think about, obviously, go check out RR Buildings for expertise. But I'm sure Kyle must have videos on doing roofing. So if you Google...
Tons. He has tons of them.
Oh, so you're already looking.
Because that's one of his expertise,
is that type of roofing.
Yeah. Well, when I asked in one of the previous videos about, like, I'm going to be doing roofing soon, send me your, you know, channels, that was the most recommended channel.
He
and
did
I knew
my
he had
roof.
Them already, but...
And I watch him explain it to the camera constantly when he was doing my roof.
Yeah. The problem with any... with watching any video about roofing is that... there's different types of metal roofing. There's different types of roof shapes, which require different trim. And then there's different types of trim, depending on what look you're going for. And the overlaps and the underpieces and all that stuff is different. So there's like this cascade effect.
They all have different systems.
Yeah. And if you want to find exactly what you're using, it's just not as straightforward as like how to do metal roofing, you know. So it's all helpful, but it's not quite as like direct as I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
But yes, he has tons. He's great stuff.
Uh-uh.
Cool. Well, did you have another one or was it just...
No, that's it, Kyle. Just check out Kyle. RR Buildings. Cool. That's it.
Yeah. He's got great stuff. And it's funny because when I've been looking at siding, One of the companies that is really popular is LP Siding. Mm-hmm. And he must work with them or something because he is all over their, like, their website
and their advertisements. They did the horse barn. Him and Dave, the Mexican carpenter, came and did the horse barn together. They came and they sent a photo photographer and they had a whole photo shoot set up. It was
cool.
It's like a model shoot in the backyard for two handsome men.
That's funny. So mine is not something I expected to find. I just randomly came across it. I like fish tanks, planted fish tanks. And I have a couple. And I was just setting up a new one recently. And so I've been watching more videos. And I talked a couple weeks ago about Tanks for Nothing, that channel that I found where the guy just like builds his own fish tanks. And
it's a perfect name.
Yeah, it really is. It's great. But so I've been trying to watch other channels like that to see if I, you know, just for inspiration, and I like the way that they look. None of the other ones are as good as his. He just has a great way of making fun little stories about fish. But now my feed is all fish stuff. And so me and the kids were watching some last night, and I came across this guy I've never seen before, and I don't even know what his name is. But he went to South Korea. There's a like a aquarium cafe, which you just have to see the place. That's not a good description of it. It's a cafe. You go in, you order food, and you sit down at these tables. But every table is a little shallow, like, bench thing up against a giant, beautiful aquarium. And there's, I don't even know how big this place is. It's just huge. Some of these aquariums would go all the way down an aisle and around a corner, and it's all one big aquascape with, you know, it's all real plants, tons of types of fish, tons of shrimp, tons of life, and they're everywhere you look. And so it's just a beautiful place, full of life and movement, and every table is up against, I mean, you're like 10 inches from this thing. It's just huge and beautiful. So it was a really cool place. I just never knew that something like that existed. And it was a surprising video to find, and a place I would definitely love to visit. I don't know when I'll ever make it to South Korea, but if I do, that's a place I'm going to go.
Just before I left New York City, right across the street from my shop, a cafe opened up. A Korean cafe. And you can go in there and have coffee and pet cats. And it was a specifically, you had to take your shoes off and go in like the special cat area. So you could.
There's a cat cafe that opened up here. In St. Augustine, Florida, there's a capybara cafe.
What?
And they have. Yes, and you can go in and play
They're
with
real?
Capybaras. They're
real? Capybaras are real?
Is that a chupacabra? What is that?
Yeah, it's a chupacabra cafe. Terrifying place to go, yeah.
What is a capybara?
No, it's a,
is that a cat
yeah,
or a
it's
dog?
Like a, it's like, yes, it's kind of both. It's like a giant rat dog.
Oh,
rat.
Yeah.
A
okay.
Weird-shaped head.
Yeah, they're really weird, but apparently really sweet and cute, and there's a cafe in St. Augustine. We were there over the summer, and we talked about going, and we just forgot about it. We never made it there, but. Anyway, cool. You guys got anything
else?
I just
saw my pick for next week. Yeah, Digital Spaghetti just put out part two of interview with the singer of OK Go.
Real quick,
I'm not a big fan of OK Go. I don't hate OK Go, but I've never purposely listened to them. But every interview with the singer is just pure gold because he is
content.
A creative genius.
Yeah. The content is unbelievable.
Yes.
I couldn't tell you one song, but I know the videos.
Right?
Might be a creative problem, that you're only remembered for the wrong thing.
I don't know that it's remembered for the wrong thing. I think he just found his medium, or they found their medium through another medium, you know?
That's just me. I mean, I'm sure they have fans that know everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, every musician does, but... Yeah, that's an interesting thing about them is that they are definitely famous for not the thing you would expect them to be famous for. But it's creative either way.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for being here, everybody.
Thank you. Exactly 1 hour and 50 seconds. Love you.